I'd like you to turn with me to Ezekiel in chapter 4 to our second reading this evening. We read down here, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. The picture of sheep and a shepherd. This hardly needs any introduction. We all know that one of the most famous and helpful and vivid analogies in God's word is that the Lord Jesus Christ is the good shepherd, the true shepherd, and we are the sheep. It's not a particularly flattering picture. We might like to think ourselves as being like giraffes for height, maybe like a gazelle for speed, or perhaps an owl for wisdom, but sheep? I shouldn't think there's anybody here tonight that is or has been a shepherd. We don't tend to know too much about sheep. Nowadays, there's not too many sheep. There's a few near to Bedford in the fields around. But we don't know much about sheep. It's a picture in the Bible. It's used even back in Genesis 48 of how the Lord fed His servants. It's used in, obviously, Psalm 23, Psalm 74, 78, 80, Isaiah 53, here in Ezekiel, and obviously again in John chapter 10. It's a picture impregnated throughout the Word of God, and we must understand it. You and I, we're like sheep. And the Lord Jesus Christ, this is a prophecy. It's speaking forward many hundreds of years. There would be one that comes who is the good shepherd. The book of Ezekiel is a hard book. Many struggle to read it. We wouldn't recommend that it's the first book in the Bible that you read. If you've become a Christian, we generally don't direct people to the book of Ezekiel, but there are wonderful things here. There is that famous vision of a valley full of dry bones, picturing what we're like if we do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. We're just like dry bones, not what God intended. There's no life, there's no vitality. We're just like dried up bones. What a picture. Well, we don't look at that tonight, but this prophecy was written some 600 years before the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we go through some of the verses tonight, we see vividly the Lord Jesus Christ contrasted to those who were the leaders in the time of Israel, 600 years before Christ. There had been a great exodus over three different phases. The children of Israel had been taken into captivity, or most of them. They'd been taken to Babylon, 590 years, something like that. It was over a period of years because of their own sin. They had been warned and warned and warned, and they took no notice. They thought they didn't need to listen to the Lord God, the God of heaven. Prophet after prophet warned them, but they took no notice. And here they are, just about 600 years before Christ, and Ezekiel comes, and the people think that their captivity will last for months, perhaps a few years, and they think that everything will be wonderful. They'll return back to their beloved Jerusalem and to their homeland. And they can exit Babylon, a heathen, idolatrous place, and return. It will all be fine. But Ezekiel had to go to them and say, it won't be fine. It won't be fine unless and until you repent. You personally, you need to turn to God. You need to repent of your own sins. Your sins have caused the captivity as a nation and as individuals, and unless and until you return, there will be no returning to Jerusalem. You won't have the benefits and the blessings of a big walled city, the place that you delight to go to with all the comforts, all the history of what God has done for the people in that land, until there was genuine heart and mind repentance, till you've left your sin, until there's been a turning away from all that you've done and a transformed life, a determination not to go back. Problem with sin is we go back to it. We have an addiction. We turn to it again and again and again. We speak of the addict being on a downer. We speak of the drug addict going through another episode. That's the problem with sin. Repentance means a total turning from sin, a determination with God's strength never to go back to the sins that we once loved. So Ezekiel comes, and he's going to speak a solemn message, but it will also be a gracious and kind message. So our message tonight is in two different parts. It's broken down in these verses. He's going to describe the false teachers, the false leaders, the false prophets. And then he's going to make an enormous contrast with the one that will come, the Good Shepherd. And then I'm going to ask you a direct question. What about you? And I'm warning you now, I'm going to ask you, who's your shepherd? Do you have a shepherd? Or are you being led astray? And is what happened to the children of Israel, as it's described in these verses, is it true of you? So let's come and look at these verses. They're so plain. When you see it's false shepherds and then the true shepherd. Look at these words. Ezekiel has the word of the Lord. Verse 1, God's word comes to Ezekiel. I'm not a prophet, but my task tonight is a bit like Ezekiel, to bring God's word to you. The word of the Lord came unto me, Ezekiel. He's going to be the preacher. He's going to be the messenger. And it says this, Son of man, Ezekiel, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. The term shepherds includes many different kinds of people. It means the leaders, the rulers, the magicians, the princes, the priests, and the prophets, the false prophets. All the people that the nation of Israel looked to for guidance, for direction, for moral leadership of some sort. And he calls them the shepherds of Israel, the people that they took their direction from, that they should be fed by, the people that should have been caring for the people of Israel in both Babylon and back. Some of them were still in Israel. Well, what should they be doing? The Lord says to Ezekiel, say to them, thus says the Lord God. Verse 2, unto these false leaders, woe, be warned. The shepherds of Israel, they're feeding themselves. You know what a shepherd should do. A shepherd should feed the people. That's the job of a shepherd. A shepherd has many functions, but one of them is to feed the sheep. Do you know it's true? If sheep don't have a shepherd, they will die. I looked it up. I looked it up on one of these websites for those interested in shepherding. There are still shepherds, and the shepherds still have to care and feed for the sheep. Shepherds should feed the sheep, but what were they doing? They were feeding themselves. They were taking the wages of a shepherd. They were taking the sheep themselves, and they were treating them as just a means of clothing, wool to turn into clothing. They were taking the sheep's food, and they were eating it themselves, and the money was being used for them. This is a picture of the leaders getting rich. It's in Bible times. You've got to try and look back to the image of the time. Verse 3, you eat the fat, you eat the benefits, you clothe yourselves with the wool, ye kill the sheep that are fed, but you don't feed the sheep. This is what they were doing. They couldn't care less for the people. They should have been looking for those who were diseased and damaged. Look down here in verse 4. Because they had no shepherd, because the shepherd wasn't protecting them, wasn't going out and looking for them, they had been eaten, damaged, scavenged by wild animals. I saw this week there was a bull which was grazing on National Trust property. I don't know whether you saw this, a very large animal. And dogs had been let off their leads, and they'd attacked this bull. And the bull had been so badly beaten that the person looking after the animal had to shoot it dead because its life was irreparable. This is what happened to the sheep. The sheep had been eaten by wild animals. Their legs had been savaged. This is a picture of the children of Israel. Those shepherds had taught them how to worship idols, had taught them how to use their bodies in ways that God said, no, no, no. You are a holy people. You should be set apart. They'd been diseased in their hearts. They had been savaged. And they needed to be bound up. Their wounds needed to be looked after. The shepherds should have been going and taking them and tending them and caring for them. But these shepherds had not been doing anything of the sort. They'd been getting rich. They'd been killing the sheep. They'd been letting the sheep go astray. And then it says in verse 4, this is such a vivid picture. Neither have ye sought that which was lost. The sheep had got lost on the hills and in the valleys. They'd gone astray. They'd gone off. They weren't being looked after. The leaders should have been caring for the people, should have been encouraging them to pray to their God, to repent of their sin, to turn to Him, to ask for His help, to pray that the Lord would return them from captivity. But they didn't. But it gets worse. Look at the end of verse 4. We see this in our own day. But with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. Do you know whenever force is used? In a marriage? In a nation? In the classroom, in family life, it's the opposite of what Christ commanded. We never, ever, ever use force. Yes, discipline, sometimes, but these leaders were forcing the people to do that which was wrong. They were extracting the money. They were taking the people and allowing them to be damaged. Don't we see that in our age? People forced to do things which are wrong, cruelly. ruling the people, not with love and kindness and tenderness, but with wicked atheism, with a materiality focus in life, all the propaganda and the advertisements, all the things that our young people are exposed to, cruelly, forcibly feeding the people with things which are not right, teaching them things which are wrong, and using things which should not be. And the consequences in Babylon and Israel were awful. These are false shepherds. Why is this chapter given to us? Is this just history? Is this just speaking of Israel and Babylon 2,600 years ago? No, this is prophecy of Christ. And this is prophecy of the day and age that we live in. Because as we look around Bedford tonight, we look around our nation, don't we see a people that don't have a shepherd? They don't have one to guide them, to protect them, to feed them, to bind their wounds, to care for them. And the people of the land, and even ministers of religion, they have no care for the people. They don't go out and bring them in. They don't seek to bind up their damaged legs and limbs. They have no concern. They just want to tell the people things that will make them comfortable, things that are popular, things that are the theme of the day. But the message is exactly the same. Ezekiel says and comes and says, unless you turn to your God, unless you repent of your sin, there will not be a returning to blessing and comfort and to the homeland. Well, we've looked at a number of the verses. The Lord God tells of the consequences. Look down in verse 5. My people are scattered because there's no shepherd. They've become food for the beasts. When they were scattered, they've been isolated. And the wild animals, the idolaters, the people of Babylon that would snare them, they've come and taken them. Verse 6, my sheep, they've wandered into the mountains. They've got isolated. They're no longer worshipping. They're no longer praying to God. My flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. What a grim picture. But you know, we have to tell it as it is. We can't pretend that in the land and the nation, the town that we live in, this isn't what we see. We're a country that's turned its back on God. I'm not speaking in a nationalistic way tonight. It's the same across Europe. It's the same across America. We've turned the back of our lives upon our God, and we're like sheep wandering. Isaiah said, we are all like sheep who've gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. We've chosen how to live. We've chosen a lifestyle. We've chosen a thought life. We've chosen a materiality. We've chosen a life without God, not without a real God. A God who is real, a God who would care for us, a God who is high and holy. We've turned our back on such things. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his. We've chosen it. This is a choice. It's not an accident. If you turn from God, you've chosen to reject the good shepherd, the one that would care for you. You've rejected all his benefits. He would feed your soul. He would care for you. You've become vulnerable. All his protection has been taken away, and you're out there on the hills of life without a shepherd, without one to care for your mind and your soul. And this is the message of Ezekiel, and it's my message tonight. Let's look down at verse 11. We have to come to the Good Shepherd. Verse 11, thus says the Lord God, behold, he tells the people, listen, listen, what I'm going to tell you, look. And then he emphasizes it again, he gets a highlighter pen. I, even I, this is God speaking. This is not Ezekiel. Behold, I, your God, your maker, the one that rules the seas and the universe, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. Isn't this glorious? God cares for you. God is searching for you tonight. I will search and seek for my sheep. Are there any of his sheep here tonight? Will you hear his voice? The shepherd is searching. He's going out to the mountains and the hills, and he's coming. Will you hear his voice? Verse 11, he searches, he seeks. Verse 12, as a shepherd, a true shepherd. This is what the real shepherd's like. As a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day, that he is among his sheep. He's not at home filling his belly. She's not. We have female shepherds today, you know that. I will seek out my sheep, and I will bring them out from the people. He's going looking. He's saying, will you listen to my voice? This is my message to you through Ezekiel. Return to me. Come to me. I'll care for your soul. Verse 13, I will gather you. Oh, that's what we need. We need Christ to come into our lives, to show us we're lost, to show us we're in danger, to show us that we have no protection. Our lives are vulnerable. All the wickedness of this world, all the things that we could fall into, all the vices, all the sins. And Christ says, I will gather you like the shepherd. I'll put you on my shoulders. I'll bring you home, you who can't walk. You've been wounded. You're diseased. You've been damaged. I'll gather you. And look at this promise, verse 13. This is a gospel promise. This is fulfilled in our day and age. I'll gather you from the countries. Not just Babylon. I'll go to England, to France, to America, to China. I'll gather you from the countries and will bring them to their own land. I'll bring you home. I'll bring you to where you belong. I'll take you to a place which is good. There's two things here that he mentions. Look down in the verse that follows. Verse 14, I will feed them in a good pasture. Do you know everyone that loves the name of Christ tonight? Everyone who is in the fold? Everyone that can say, I'm a Christian? I love the Lord Jesus Christ? We can tell you we live in a good pasture. The grass is rich. It fills our stomachs every day, and we can say, I'm satisfied with every good thing that my God gives me. I will feed them in a good pasture And upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. This is speaking of Jerusalem, set on a hill. It's in a lofty place. The Israelites always considered the hills to be the place that they wanted to be. And there shall they lie in a good fold. That's where we need to be, in the sheepfold. Wounded animals, we need to be gathered up. Children, do you know your sin tonight? Do you see the effects of sin in your life already? Are you wounded? Have the animals bitten your legs, bitten your hands, got into your eyes and diseased them? The Lord Jesus Christ says to you tonight, I'm the good shepherd. I'll put you in a good pasture. I'll put you in a good fold, one that's got walls, high walls. The animals won't get in. You'll be safe. I'll feed you in the day. I'll put you at night in my fold, and there you will be fed. Verse 15, I will feed my flock. Do you know, every day since I've been a Christian, if I've wanted to be fed, Christ has fed me. If there's been a day that I've not been fed, it's been my fault because I've not read the Word of God. But every day there's food there for me. And the Lord Jesus says, I will cause them to lie down. I'll have rest, peace, comfort, blessings unnumbered, says the Lord God. This is God speaking. It's not really Ezekiel. This is God speaking to your soul. Look at verse 16 as we close. I will seek that which was lost. That's how Christ describes anybody here tonight. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you are lost. You're vulnerable. You're unfed. You're uncared for. You're unprotected. You're like a sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord comes to you tonight and says, I will seek that which is lost and bring again that which was driven away by the false shepherds of YouTube, the false shepherds who might be your school teachers, who teach you wrong things about origins, the wrong shepherds and the false leaders of our nation that call evil good and good evil. All the false shepherds of our time. And the Lord comes and says, if you feel your brokenness, if you feel the disease that's in your heart, I will gather you. I'll come and look for you. I'll come and speak to you. And the Lord Jesus says, my sheep will know my voice. Do you know, if you can say tonight that I'm in that fold, it means three things. You have a relationship with the shepherd. You know the shepherd's voice, and the shepherd knows you. Do you know a shepherd? They buy their sheep. They go to auction. They pay a price for their sheep, and they add them to the fold. Do you know Christ will buy your life because he died for your sin? If you will trust in him tonight, you have a relationship with him because he bought you and because you know him. And secondly, you value him more than anything else. The sheep, there's only one thing that matters, the shepherd. The shepherd for food, the shepherd for safety, the shepherd because he bought you and he cares for you. And every night he puts you safely in his fold. You have relationship with him. You value him, and he values you. He paid the highest price. But you know as well, there's a third thing. There might be people here tonight. Christ is already your shepherd. You just don't know it yet. Because the third thing, everyone who knows that shepherd follows him. Do you follow him? Is he the one that you look to in your life for everything? For what's right? For leaving what's wrong? Is he the one that you trust in on that great day of judgment when your life will be opened up like a book? Is he the one that you're trusting in for forgiveness of your sin? If you can say, I follow him, I value him above everything else, and I have a relationship, it might be a weak relationship. You may not know him that well, but if you can say those three things, I know him, I value him, I follow him, then he is your shepherd. And that's on the authority of the Word of God. My sheep know my voice, and they follow me, and they love me, and they value me more than anything else. Let's pray together. O God, our gracious and loving Father, we thank thee for the good shepherd that laid down his life for the sheep that willingly went astray, and did not deserve, could not earn their way back to the fold. We're thankful for his love and for his grace and his kindness and his mercy, that he was even willing to lay down his own life at enormous cost and to bear the load of our sin that we might be forgiven and washed in his precious blood. We're thankful that he became the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of all the world, of all his people that would trust in him. Lord, bless each soul, each heart tonight. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.